Hello, iterative marketers. Welcome to the Iterative Marketing Podcast, where each week we give marketers and entrepreneurs actionable ideas, techniques, and examples to improve your marketing results. If you want notes and links to the resources discussed on the show, sign up to get them emailed to you each week at iterativemarketing.net. There you'll also find the Iterative Marketing blog and our community LinkedIn group where you can share ideas and ask questions of your fellow iterative marketers. Now let's dive into the show. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Iterative Marketing Podcast. I'm your host, Steve Robinson, and with me, as always, is the insightful, and that's always with an S, never with a C, Elizabeth Aaron. How are you doing today, Elizabeth?
I'm good, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing great. So I was kind of curious, what are your biggest pet peeves?
Oh, gosh. I think it probably depends on what's going on in my life right now. So my biggest pet peeve is at the moment are people who leave their dishes in the sink. What about you? That.
It is like doors left ajar. So like cabinets that are left open, or if the microwave's left open, or one of those sorts of things, like things need to be closed and kind of dress. And I don't know if that's my military or what it is, but yeah. And the funny thing is, I think it's genetic. I think it got passed down to my son and my daughter because they go around closing things.
Well, that's good. Then you don't have anything that's annoying you, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So it's as simple as that.
So what are we talking about today?
Today we are talking about aligning content with both your persona and your customer journey state.
I know this kind of comes back to a lot of what we've talked about with iterative marketing, and really your customer journey and your persona being the backbone of your marketing program. But why is it important for us to achieve this alignment?
Well, you know, I think it's an important topic for us to talk about today because we've been talking a lot about personas and customer journeys in the past few episodes. But when you're talking about why it's important in general to your marketing strategy, it comes down to the basic fact that it's just a requirement to play the game these days.
Yeah, I think we're definitely seeing that we're in a moment of change, both in what our competitors are doing and also what the audience expects. I think that it particularly, and you can read all of the studies about millennials, but I think it transcends that to anybody who is used to a personalized, digitally connected experience. Demands that in all corners of their lives. I mean, call it the Netflix effect or the Amazon effect, where we're used to this higher degree of personalization based on our own context.
Yeah, and I love that you pointed out that it's not just tied to millennials. I think a lot of times those poor guys get a bad rap. But this is something that across, it's spanning generations. We're seeing it across the board with different demographics. And not delivering that personalization that customers are looking for is putting businesses at a disadvantage. They're behind the eight ball.
You know, we've talked about personalization in the past in the context of a persona and making sure that you're really speaking to your audience. But today we're really focused on personalization based on the journey. How is that different from persona?
Personalization, first, I think it's important to note that when we're talking about personalization, we're not talking about things like putting their name in the email. We're talking about personalization in terms of the content that we're delivering to them and the message that we're giving them. And so it kind of connects persona and customer journey in the sense that the state that they're in, see or think or do or grow or give, is going to determine the type of message that they want to receive. It's going to determine the type of information that they're looking for at that point, the brand attributes that they need reinforced to feel comfortable with moving forward in the purchasing process. The persona is going to influence that based on maybe the methods that you're using to target them, maybe some of the jargon that you may be using or not using. It's going to help kind of filter that out. But when you're looking at your content, what you're talking about is specific content that is tied to where they are in the purchasing process at that specific point in time.
And so if you end up sending the wrong message at the wrong time, it can have detrimental effects because you're either... either the audience is not going to be paying attention to the message that you're sending because it's out of context for where they are in their journey, or it could actually drive them away.
Yes. And you know, it goes beyond that. It's not just the fear of potentially losing the ability to talk to a potential prospect or customer, but you're also being wasteful of your own resources, your own time and your own money, putting that content or that advertising out there that just isn't resonating with your audience.
Yeah, the way I like to think about it is sort of in the context of dating. If you're dating someone, you have to be very careful about exactly what you reveal or what you say at what point in that relationship, right? And eventually you end up to the point where you're comfortable saying hopefully anything, but in the beginning you can't just walk up to someone that you like and say, hey, will you marry me? Or other slightly less PG things that you could say or too early in the dating scene. But it's having the right message at the right time. And I think that you're right. If you don't, then you're wasting air probably that you're paying for. So,
well, it's, you know, tying it back to your proposal example, if I'm on my Facebook feed and there's this company I've never heard of before that's asking me to come and buy a product that I've never heard of before, I'm going to ignore them. Or if it's offensive enough messaging, and not offensive in the sense that bad words and distasteful images, but if it's so in my face, it actually turns me off. And now my chances of interacting with that brand in the future are pretty slim.
So I think today, probably the most effective way to go through this would be just to go through the individual different states within the customer journey and go through kind of some best practices or tips about creating content that is appropriate for that particular state. Do you want to kick it off with C?
Sure. So our C audience, again, this is going to be that pool of people who are our target audience, who fit with anyone who can buy our product and who has a use for our product. And tying back to some previous episodes when we've talked about this, they have the ability to buy your product. They have the money to do it. It's not just that they want to, they can actually afford it. And so when we're looking at C, we're really focusing at this point on brand awareness, because most of this audience either doesn't know you exist or doesn't realize that or think that they have any need for your product. And so at this point, we're focusing on simple brand messaging that says or shows who we are, what we stand for, and what it's like to engage with us, so that when they do get to that next stage, when they get to think and when they get to do, they already have an idea in their mind of who we are.
Yeah, and I think that there's kind of two core types of content for this this audience. You have your advertising, which is, you know, you're trying to get a message in edgewise. You're interrupting and you're getting a simple message in front of somebody who needs to hear it at that point in time. Or you have your content, or as Jay Baer likes to call it, utility type content, where you're adding value that is tangential to whatever it is that you are offering.
Exactly. So when we're talking about advertising, we're talking about that interruptive advertising. We're talking about billboards. We're talking about brand banners that have your brand name and your logo, or maybe your brand name and your tagline. Some other examples, we've got product placements that aren't necessarily getting a message out, but they're getting the user or the viewer used to seeing the brand and the logo being used in a specific context. And then TV ads. And, you know, we love to talk about TV ads. Procter & Gamble's Olympic Moms. I mean, I can't even talk about it without tearing up, so we won't go too far into that. Or Johnson & Johnson's Mother Day Touch, which is another one that makes me tear up a little bit. But they do exactly what they're supposed to. I now have an affinity for a brand that I may or may not have already had an experience with.
Yeah, and in all cases, I think it's really important to mention that these TV ads are not trying to educate or inform the audience about the product or service. If it's C-stage content, it is really just highlighting the brand and hopefully creating some emotional tie to that brand, not hawking the features and benefits of product A, right?
Exactly. And both of those brands have successfully succeeded, at least in my point of view. When we talk about content, I know you've got some great examples of content that some brands have used.
Yeah. And so here, this is content that, again, isn't talking about your product or service. It may be tangentially related, but it isn't directly addressing your product or service. Instead, it's trying to add value to your prospects or your customers' lives. And I think a great example of this is, or at least one of the most fun examples of this, is the Charmin Sitter Squat app, which, you know, if you think about who is your C audience for Charmin, well, I guess it's anybody that poops, right? If you think about it from that standpoint, then providing an app that provides utility for anybody who needs facilities and showing them where the good ones and the clean ones are is the right way to do that. And I've got Elizabeth blushing and cracking up on the other side of this conversation.
Yeah. If anyone's watching our video feed, I'm bright red right now. I like I told Steve when we talked about this earlier that he was going to have to talk about this example because this is not something I am comfortable talking about in necessarily in public. I think the toilet paper commercials are a little odd, but that's okay.
But the key is that it adds value to the audience.
It does.
And by no means is it going to directly sell toilet paper. Instead, it's going to and hopefully enrich the lives of those that are on the go.
Yeah, I think Nivea is another great example. They had a magazine ad. I believe they only ran it. I think it was in Brazil, but a magazine ad that included a solar panel charger. Well, Nivea doesn't sell solar panel chargers, but they do a lot that has to do with skin and skin being in the sun. And so they were really going after beachgoers, giving them the ability to charge their phones while they sunbathed. And so, again, adding that utility, adding that value that doesn't necessarily tie back to the product, but met the needs of the audience they were trying to reach.
Right. So now I'm sitting on the beach getting a lot of sun that may or may not be good for me and may require some product. And in front of me the whole time is the brand and logo of Nivea. So, and I like Nivea because they charged my phone for me. So it's a win-win. Flipping this a little bit, when we move into Think, now that content has to shift a little bit because now you're approaching a prospect who is actually considering a purchase in the product or service area that you're offering, right?
Mm-hmm. And again, generally we want this to add value and help someone in the decision-making process because they're getting closer to it. Now they are aware of the product. They are ready to, they're starting to evaluate their options and getting ready to potentially move into that due state. And so when we talk in terms of our advertising and of our content, again, we're looking for something that's more engaging than what was delivered in the C-state and something that's going to make someone think differently about the purchase. A lot of times this can include a call to action. We're sort of laying the path to help them move down that purchase process. Although it may not, I mean, there's a good chance that it doesn't include that. It may just be something that's helping to change their perception. Great examples of these in terms of advertising and content are white papers and webinars, or really any print or web advertising that makes you think about how to make that purchase.
Right. And we're not getting into offers here. We're not advertising sale prices. We're not talking about features and benefits. We're helping the consumer think differently about the product category overall and making them feel like a more informed purchaser generally. And so same thing is true of content. A couple of examples in the content area. One that I really like is the Project Color app by Home Depot. So if you think about it, if you're in think state and you're thinking about repainting the inside of your house, what are you going to be doing? You're going to be looking at different colors and trying to figure out where you want to go and trying to create a vision of what it could look like if it's been repainted. And this app does exactly that. You snap a picture of your room and you pick a color and boom, your room is that color. Well, and it works most of the time, but it helps solidify that vision and get you thinking about that purchase without offering sale on bare paint at Home Depot this weekend 20% off. It's instead facilitating that think state of the buyer's journey.
Exactly. You take your phone in and you say, I want this, and it makes it that much easier. So you've removed some of those barriers based on this app that has been created. Mm-hmm. I think that HubSpot and Marketo on the B2B side also do a really phenomenal job in terms of think state content.
So what happens when we move to do?
When we get in,
what does that look like?
Yeah, when we get into do, that's when our prospect is ready to buy. They're ready to make that decision, and so now our messaging changes, and it's different than what we've seen in seen and think. In that, we need to create a sense of urgency and present an offer to them. And so, to your point earlier, this is where we start introducing things like coupons and limited time offers, anything that sort of has a buy now call to action. These are things that are going to instill that sense of urgency and get them to take action.
Yeah, and on the content side, really we're trying to grease those skids. We're trying to make it easier for somebody to follow through with that purchase. So we want to give them buyer's guides. We want to give them features and benefits comparisons, our product versus another company's product head-to-head. Anything that's going to help them really make that buying commitment and fall all the way through to being completing that purchase and becoming a customer.
Yeah, I think Wayfair.com is really, really great at do state content. they have a phenomenal resource gallery that has how-to guides and different sort of buying guides. They've got a how to measure flooring for installation. I mean, that seems so overwhelming. And they have this phenomenal, easy to understand, downloadable PDF that you can go in and kind of walks you through the whole process and eases that fear of going and buying wood flooring online when that may be something that you might be too scared to do before you read this guide.
And, you know, see, think, and do are all of those states that occur prior to somebody becoming a customer. But then we have the two states that occur after somebody becomes a customer. And content is just as important then as it is prior to that. You know, it's a whole lot cheaper to retain and grow existing accounts than it is to acquire new ones or existing customers if you're more on the B2C side. And so when you're working within Grow here, you're really trying to come up with content that helps cross-sell, upsell, or drive a greater bond to your particular brand or company, right?
Mm-hmm. And so on the advertising side, we start to see our brand advertising coming back into play because, again, we want to reinforce those brand values and help reinforce why making a purchase decision from us, buying from us, is a good idea. It's also an opportunity to provide some relevant offers, and that's where the kind of cross-sell or upsell comes into play.
And then on the content side, here's where, you know, your classic email newsletter type of content comes in. How can you help your audience better consume your product or service? How can you highlight features and benefits of the existing products and services that they're using that they may not be aware of? How can you make them aware of other things that you offer in a way that isn't so salesy that it makes them unsubscribe or pushes them away, but is really adding value to them of the other things that you have to offer? And I think recipe sites are a great example of this. And, you know, pretty much every major food company has a recipe site. Some are better than others. I think, Elizabeth, you stumbled on a really good one.
Oh, yeah. Campbell's Kitchen. I've used it for dinner myself a few times. But they've got great recipes, cooking tips. They even have a section for 30-minute dinners. I mean, who doesn't have 30 minutes to try and get dinner together? So great resources. And I think this is an opportunity here when we get into Grow. So many companies and so many brands are so focused on see, think, and do and getting those new customers in the door that a lot of times they kind of let that communication drop off once that customer becomes a customer. And this is a great opportunity, I think, to help strengthen that relationship and to further that relationship, you know, helping them feel comfortable and giving them new avenues of using the product. And so this is, I think, a really great opportunity for a lot of our listeners out there.
And that brings us to Give. So these are your current customers who kind of go a little bit above and beyond your normal customer in that they have moved into that advocate scenario where they're now advocating your brand to others. They're evangelists of your brand or your mission or your product or service. And I think it's important to identify these individuals and target them with slightly different content than your Grow audience, because these are the folks that you want leaving you reviews. These are the folks that you want sharing your message, and you want to make sure that they're on point when they're doing it, right?
Yeah, you've worked so hard on crafting this brand message and creating this brand image that while we want our customers to talk about us, it would be great if they could talk about us in the way that we have crafted in our brand guide. And this is kind of our next step to getting there. And we use things like brand advertising to reinforce that key message. And referral programs. There's so many great examples of referral programs out there. I think Dropbox's Refer a Friend is a really great example. It's very clean and concise messaging. It makes it very easy to share. And it's a very successful program for them. On the content side, we're looking at things like joint case studies that when you ask a customer to participate with you. And so the two of you are working on that together. And there's, I think, you know, a couple other examples of really great content opportunities where you can help to give customers the chance to talk about you in an educated way.
I think a really great example of this is actually with Lego, which of course is kind of the poster child for content marketing as well. But when you look at their ability to co-create content with their audience, particularly those that are, you know, their biggest fans, their evangelists of Lego content, they do a phenomenal job. If you go on their Facebook page, it's riddled with contests and competitions where you have people trying to, both kids and adults, trying to create various things with Lego, take photographs of it, share it. All of that's going to their friends, their followers, and sharing their love of Lego with a broader community and helping to really reinforce that brand through word of mouth. And it's a great example of taking their give audience and really nurturing it and putting it to good use. I think this is a great point for us to take a quick break and go help some people.
Before we continue, I'd like to take a quick moment to ask you iterative marketers a small but meaningful favor and ask that you give a few dollars to a charity that's important to one of our own. This week's charitable cause was sent in by Brittany Taminga in Fredericksburg, Virginia. Brittany asks that you make a contribution to Micah Ministries, a faith-based organization addressing the basic needs of the homeless in Fredericksburg, Virginia. Learn more at www.micahfredericksburg.org or visit the link in the show notes. If you would like to submit your cause for consideration for our next podcast, please visit iterativemarketing.net/podcast and click the Share a Cause button. We love sharing causes that are important to you.
And we're back. So prior to the break, we talked about the different customer states, the different states in the customer journey, and what type of content is most valuable to a prospect at each step in that, or customer in each state in as they move through the customer journey. But I think it's important to note that just because an individual happens to be in an individual state, they're either in see, think, do, grow, or give, doesn't mean that you should only be targeting that individual with content for that state. You have to introduce content from the following state in the path that you want that prospect to follow so that you can know exactly where they are in the customer journey.
Exactly. If you don't provide think stage content to your C audience, you're never going to know when they've moved to think. Same with think to do. Do to grow is a little bit different because they've made a purchase, and so there's a different way to acknowledge that. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But if you haven't given them a path to make the move, then we don't know when they've made that move. With that being said, I think it's very important to note that we cannot force someone down this path. They have to make that decision on their own. It's our job to provide them with that pathway, to light the path for them, but they have to make the decision when they're going to move into the next step, into that next state.
Exactly. I think it's also important to note that when we're saying that you need to introduce think state content to your C audience, that we're not saying that you should mix your content and you shouldn't be providing one piece of content that is both C and think. We're saying that the bulk of your content should be C state content, and that you should introduce small pieces of think state content in addition to that C state content.
And then once they've acted on that, we'll have a bulk of think content and introduce some small pieces of do stage content until they make that next move. And that's how we can, again, determine what state that they are in.
You want to do the same thing from grow to give. So when an individual, when a customer is in grow state, you're going to drop a little bit of give state content just to see, hey, is this somebody who wants to promote our product, our service, our brand? Or is this somebody who, you know, is still just focused on becoming a loyal customer?
Now, earlier I mentioned that do to grow is a little bit different. What makes it different?
Well, in this instance, you're usually not going to be using content to detect when somebody moved from do to grow, right? Because there's usually a point where they have decided to make a purchase and they have followed through on that purchase, and that's when they move from do to grow. Now, everybody's definition a little bit different of when is somebody a loyal customer that you're working on growing into. That's different for every company. You know, in the case of e-commerce, you're probably going to set a threshold on they need to make two purchases and have a user account before they're considered a loyal customer. But in the case of if you're selling a car, you know, people only make that purchase decision every 3 to 5 years anyway. So, you're not going to really, they become a customer after one purchase. So content, you're not going to really dangle your grow content in front of your do audience. Instead, you're just going to wait for them to cross the line, and then you'll move into providing them with grow and a little bit of give content. Why do we need content at each one of these states? Can we just skip around and provide some C content, maybe some do content, and leave it at that?
Great question. And I think we alluded to it just a few minutes ago, but if we want to lead them down this purchasing path, to light the path for them, as we referenced earlier, then we need to have content at each of the states.
And I think it's important to note that if we skip states, then we leave holes, right? So you have chunks of your audience that is in each one of these states, and your audience is in one state. They're not in multiple. So if you're not offering content that adds value to an individual state, then you either are providing them with the wrong content at that state, or you're leaving a gap, and perhaps your competitor has come in to provide the content for that state.
Mm-hmm. Again, our customers and our prospects are looking for a personalized experience, and if you're not offering it, they're going to find someone who is. So when we talk about content, let's start with C. If we are not putting C content out to our prospects, to our possible audience, then we are ignoring anyone who isn't thinking about our product right this second. And that hurts our brand awareness. And when our brand awareness hurts, then that hurts our long-term growth.
Exactly. And if we skip think content, then we are not helping people be more considered in their purchase. We're not building any brand affinity or trust along the path. And chances are our competitors are. So they will be getting that content from somewhere as they try to figure out, become an informed consumer of your product or service.
I think at this point, it's important to note, when you get into do, if you do have do content, you think, well, I'm just going to share it with my think audience and my see audience. It's not a big deal. It is a big deal, because if you turn them off too early, if you go at them too hard with too much of a sales message too early in the game, then you're going to turn them off and you're going to lose that potential sale in the future.
And then if you skip do, well, and not many people skip do. Usually we run across brands that are only doing do. But if you did somehow skip do and you build this really loyal tribe of people who love your articles and your content that helps them or makes them feel good, but then you do nothing to monetize it, well, then you don't make money. So that's not a good thing either.
Grow is another area where I think I mentioned earlier, a lot of brands have opportunities. If you skip grow, you've provided this great service up to this point, and now you've just sort of disappeared. You've fallen off the face of the earth, and you've started to lose that trust that you had built up during your sales process. And you also lose the opportunity to cross-sell or upsell or maintain retention. And that's important, because the cost of acquiring a new customer is so much more than maintaining a current customer.
And then finally, give. Really, if you skip give, it's more of an opportunity cost, because you're losing the opportunity to A, direct or influence your evangelist, your advocate audience, to make sure that they are sharing the right message as they go and talk about your brand to others. And B, you're missing the opportunity to nurture that audience and really amplify your word of mouth marketing, which is a really powerful force. Some businesses grow only on word of mouth. So the opportunity to influence and accelerate it is really one that you don't want to squander.
No, people that love you want to talk about you, so help them do it. Give them the words to make it happen.
Yeah. One of the questions I get is, so why can't I just create some fits-all content, some content that actually just works for all of these audiences, and that'll really save on my production costs and really make things a lot simpler. Do you want to address why that's not a good idea, Elizabeth?
Yeah, it comes back to that a message that is pertinent to everyone is not interesting to anyone. So if you write this message that's going to appeal, in your mind, appeal to see, think, and do audiences, chances are that it's not meeting the needs of the individual users in each of those states. And so at that point, they're just going to tune it out.
Yeah, I mean, our brains are naturally wired to go out and find signal among noise, right? We are great at identifying patterns, even some that don't exist. But if you start producing content that has too much clutter, too many different things in it, it just becomes the noise. And your audience, your prospects, your customers will be unable to find signal in it, and they won't latch onto it because it isn't relevant to where they are or their context at that particular moment. I think we've pretty well summed up, beat this topic to death, as it were, and I want to thank everybody for their time this week, and I know time is precious, and I appreciate you making it for us. Until next week, onward and upward.
If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to the podcast on YouTube or your favorite podcast directory. If you want notes and links to resources discussed on the show, sign up to get them emailed to you each week at iterativemarketing.net. There, you'll also find the Iterative Marketing blog and our community LinkedIn group, where you can share ideas and ask questions of your fellow iterative marketers. You can also follow us on Twitter. Our username is @ITER8IVE, or email us at podcast@iterativemarketing.net. The Iterative Marketing Podcast is a production of Brilliant Metrics, a consultancy helping brands and agencies rid the world of marketing waste. Our producer is Heather Ullman with transcription assistance from Emily Bechtel. Our music is by Seastock Audio Music Production and Sound Design. You can check them out at seastockaudio.com. We'll see you next week. Until then, onward and upward.